and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now notice this next verse. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. I don't know why I began to think about this week. I do not mean for a moment to imply that anyone from the past who lived and died is any more important than another. I don't mean that at all. But I was thinking about the tremendous loss on the part of each person who has died in sin and gone to hell. And however many years ago that took place, it shall go on forever. Forever. It's something that I can't even understand, that matter of eternity, the suffering, the anguish, forever. When I was 27 years old, Phil Schuler came to Denver, and Phil and I became close friends. And I heard his brother Jack preach. I heard his daddy, Dr. Bob Schuler, preach. And so I had kind of a link, a connection there. And there was a camp in Jar Canyon that was run and owned by Dr. Harvey Springer, who was called the Cowboy Preacher of the West. My mother used to listen to Dr. Springer in Oklahoma as he preached. He was a Cherokee Indian. He was a tremendous preacher. He had literally thousands saved under the ministry that God gave him. My grandfather on my mother's side came to visit us in Denver. My grandmother, saved, died early in life. She fell in the kitchen in their house in Red Rock, Oklahoma, struck her head, never regained consciousness, and went into eternity. My grandfather was unsaved. At that point in time, he was about 82. And he came to the camp meeting in Jar Canyon, and Dr. Schuler was preaching. And I had talked with Phil Schuler about my grandpa, and so Brother Schuler endeavored to talk to my grandfather, and he wonderfully presented the gospel. I stood right there. My grandfather was kind. He really was. He was compassionate as a man. He was honest. He had integrity. But he would have nothing to do with the gospel. Nothing. And he wasn't ugly about it. And Brother Schuler was giving him the gospel. But it had no effect. My grandfather at 96 died. And he went into eternity lost. And sometimes that thought, that fact overwhelms me when I realize how long he's been in hell. And then I think of some of those in the past that have made a tremendous impact in America. For instance, the singer Mario Lanza, a tremendous voice. He really made an impact in America, died drunken, went to hell. And how long he's been there. And then you and I are here tonight. We sit and listen. We sit in fellowship. And we are so blessed abundantly that you and I should sit in this room tonight and be saved. And I'm disturbed greatly about my own life in that I fear that I sometimes in such a rush that I lose my appreciation for so great salvation. And I'm praying that God will give me a renewal of my appreciation for salvation. I've been talking with, and you know this, Bob Senna. His knees are terrible. He needs to lose weight. He's having to struggle at home now. Last week, his wife fainted while he was at work. When he came home, she was on the floor. They couldn't get her to regain consciousness. They finally did. But the process of whatever caused it has caused her now to lose her hearing. And so he's struggling. He's saved, but he's struggling. And in all of this struggle with Bob Senna, he's invited Mikey, a co-worker there in the store, and invited him to come to church. And we talked this morning, the three of us, and there is a strong possibility that Mike will come to church. Mike is as lost can be. And his former wife has threatened to shoot him and was able to purchase a gun and has driven past his house twice now, just recently, and she intends to shoot him. So these things like this going on, and you and I sit here tonight in the safety that God provides. I don't want to take that for granted. Who am I? There's nothing special about me. But God has protected me. Who are you? But God has protected you. Of late, for a lengthy period of time, my wife suffered terribly with her jaw. And finally, when the specific and special surgeon removed that wisdom tooth, she went through 12 days of terrible agony. I mean terrible agony. She cannot tolerate any pain meds. Therefore, she suffered with the pain for the 12 days. And you prayed. I know you did. And at the end of the 12-day period, she woke up one morning and the pain was gone. G-O-N-E. And along with it, within 2 or 3 days, the dizziness was gone. And God did it. And whatever has happened in your life to deliver you, God did it. I mean, we respect the doctor that did the surgery. But he really didn't do it. Yes, his hands were at work. His mind was at work. But only God brought about what took place to deliver this girl of mine so that she could enjoy further health. Now watch this closely as we examine some of these verses in 1 John and chapter 5. in this we're given assurance of faith. I will speak slowly. I don't want you to miss what I'm saying. And I don't want to make a mistake in it. We live in a world of doubt. There is doubt on every hand. And we live our lives and we defend our faith in a hostile world. And it is hostile. And it's becoming more evident every day, even within this city, as the bodies are found in dumpsters and the shootings continue and so forth, giving us an idea of the birth pangs that take place before our Savior comes again. And as we listen to it on the news and we hear about it and so forth, surrounding us all the time are a horde of people lost and on their way to hell. And you and I sit here tonight and we're saved. And God is doing it. See, the basis of assurance that's given here in these verses that we're going to look at, this basis of assurance is faith, and faith is both something to believe and to live. The book of James. And the fact is, it is faith's assurance that life is linked with God, and in any dark hour, this assurance of God from the Word of God brings light and brings peace to our soul, to our thinking. And when our thinking gets all twisted up, and you have to have God comb the kinks out of your thinking, it is because of God's wonderful way in His Word, and as He applies this assurance from the truth of God, that you can come out of the being crossed up in your thinking and once again think straight by the grace of God. It is God. It is God. It is God. And faith gives an assurance that can never, never be reached by destroying elements. Did you get that statement? Faith can give us and does give us that which destroying elements can never affect. Thank God. And this assurance of faith, it has its beginning in the things that, two words, we know. Did you notice how many times in the verses I read, we know? We know. And in this epistle, John says 7 times, we know. There's a rational faith. Such a faith, it also is emotional, for the thing is, you can't know something without being moved by what you know. Sometimes you've been sitting and you've been reading the truth of God, and in an overwhelming manner, you are overcome in an emotional way as well as a spiritual way, and you begin to weep because of what you've been reading or what you heard someone say, and it all came because of God. And you are moved. And you are strengthened. And your life and heart is fashioned and being fashioned on the part of the Spirit of God. And this faith that brings into you and myself a right mind, right thinking, this faith is the most rational and revealing thing in the whole world. And this faith, assurance of faith in a world of doubt, it takes 4 forms. Let me give them to you tonight. First of all, there is the assurance of the possession of eternal life. Look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The assurance of possession of eternal life. This matter of so great salvation. When Frank Sinatra died on his deathbed, his last words were, "Now I lose." And he had a tremendous impact on America. But he went to hell. With all the talent, all the expertise, all that he did to help others, he went to hell. And you and I sit here saved, having been saved and cared for. So we have this assurance of possession because of a settled sin question. Did you get that? Because of a settled sin question. 1 John 1, 7 through 10. And then because we keep His commandments. 1 John 2, 4 and 5. And because there is love. 1 John 3, 14. Here is love opposed to hate. And here is service as opposed to selfishness. And because of the witness of the Holy Spirit, 1 John 3, 24. And because of the Word of God, 1 John 5, 1. And we must surround our lives with the verities and the certainties of faith. And where are they? Ah, they're in the book, the Word of God. That's where they are. Therefore, I've come to a place in my thinking at my age where I am so determined to gain from the Scripture every morning what I've never known. And sometimes I thought I knew, and I look at it and I read it and it's brand new to me. And the Spirit of God is moving to do something in me so I can do something for Him. And I'm disturbed. Because I find I'm indolent so often. I've got to get over that. Because of these things, I'm so assured of my possession. Thank God. And then there is the assurance of power. The power of prayer. Chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Did you know that prayer means conviction? Did you know that? Oh, yes. And prayer is our confidence in Him. And prayer has a condition. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And prayer brings a conclusion. And we know that He hears us if whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So there is the assurance of the power of prayer, as well as the assurance of so great salvation, our possession. Then there's the assurance of protection against sin. Verses 16 and 17. Did you know that the knees are more potent than the tongue? Amen. Did you know that? Oh yeah. We have the assurance of His protection. We have the assurance of His presence. The presence of Christ. We read verses 18 through 21. Would you notice? Look here at verse 20. Notice, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The protection of sin from it, against it, the protection of God that deals with it, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the Word of God. Do you know where that is? That protection must first lie within you, inside you. The lost have no protection. You have protection. And it's because of what's on the inside that displays itself on the outside in your testimony. That's the reason that I must be so careful about my walk. I mean, do you know that the Christian has a new ability? Now, don't miss this. The Christian, when born again, you have a new ability. The characteristic of the new nature is holiness. Did you get that? That's the characteristic of the new nature. Holiness. And it permeates everything about your living. And it's from the inside and coming out to be displayed in the eyes of others. What you are is because of who he is. And therefore, the Christian has a new ability to express, to show it, to display it. And then the Christian has a new identity. Look at verse 19. Let me look to be sure. Yes, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We are declared to be of God. We are. We're declared to be of God. So we are distinguished from the world, which lies in wickedness. There's a new generation when someone is born again, entering the assembly of God, the family of God, and going to the church of God and becoming a part of those who are born again with a new idea of living that's different than anything they've ever known before they were saved. The new ideals and the new desires, because the life is different, and they can now be identified by the difference that exists within them and shows on the outside. And in a world at its worst, you and I can live at best with the glory of God being in front of us and we living in such a way that we display that for his sake all the time. You and I can be surrounded by evil and it not affect us. You never want to shake hands with the world. You don't ever want to compromise with sin. Amen. Never. 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 Did you know that there are some Christians that don't believe that? They think it's all right to take a liberty here and a liberty here and a liberty here. No, no, no. Since I have been set free and I am free to live for him. That's it. That's my liberty. That's the expressed way. And then the Christian has a new knowledge. In the past, you've been washed in the blood. In the future, you're in the hand of God. In the present, you're living in Him, with Him, He in you, and He expresses when He's not hindered. He expresses the very thing that He Himself wants to express as long as you don't restrict it by doing your own thing. See, this matter of faith for our spiritual life and faithfulness in the life we live in the world. And if you and I keep the faith keeps us. Did you get that? Let me say that again. If you keep the faith keeps you. I have no right to take a liberty where God does not allow a liberty. Let me say that again. I have no right, none, to take a liberty where God does not allow me to take a liberty. And that can be in my disposition. That can be in my response. That can be in my motive. I have no right. So here's the matter. This, all of this is the assurance with which we're left to live life at its best. Again, this is the assurance with which we're to live life at its best. So it's the possession of salvation. It's the power of prayer. It's the protection that God gives us against sin. And it's the presence of Christ. Now let me make this closing statement. When we read each time, we know. That is not knowledge that is acquired by study. That knowledge there is what we call intuitive. And that knowledge is given us in order that we might display what is in us and who is in us when we get saved. So don't think this is the knowledge you gain by study. This is the knowledge already given. And God has done it. You know, I want to get straightened out. You listening? See, in all of the ways in which I'm crooked. And by the way, so are you. And you need to get straightened out. Now, it's not my business to detect what it is about you. No. I've got a whole passel of things I need to deal with without trying to find fault with you. But the fact is, if we all adhere, admit, confess, do right, if that all is true, then you know what the result will be? It will be a great flow of seeing people saved. You better believe that. You have to be right to do right. And therefore, in the name of Jesus, the assurance, the intuitive knowledge, the presence, I don't have to look for him. He's in me. Pastor, you come.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you write some of this down? I did. Thank you. My Bible's all marked up now. Can't read the Bible. Got all your quotes. But that was very interesting and very powerful. Thank you. What arrested you in this message? Any statements he made? Yes, Sharon? Let's get the microphone.
Your knees are more powerful than your tongue.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wrote. The knees are more potent than the tongue. Can you tell me why that spoke to you? Go ahead.
Because of prayer. Yeah. That's we pray is more powerful than what we say.
Isn't that true? Thank you. What do you think would happen if we prayed for each other daily? One of the things this year, 2020, I've got three things that really have to do with my purpose statement. This, one of them is to pray every day as best as possible for each one of you, every one of you by name. And I mean business, because I agree about that statement. Amen. Somebody else. What spoke to you? What stuck out? Yes, Roland.
Well, just like you just said, you know, about prayer, you know, my focus is on prayer. You know, not only, I mean, I know I'm selfish with this job situation, but as, you know, pointed out here in Scripture, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Yeah. Like when we pray for Walt Ulbrich, we pray for the Parkers.
Yes.
I want to see God answer those prayers. Amen. And show himself Amen. Strong.
Christine Spear, I see you've asked us to pray for Terry. Can you tell us, is it salvation? Pray for Terry's salvation. Okay. How about the statement? Hey, well, your turn. Any statements that you really grabbed onto? Yes, Ken.
You have to be right to do right.
Yeah, I'm going to check that off. That's one of mine, too. I love that.
Yeah.
Explain.
Well, you know, so many times we try to be the perfect Christian. We try to be somebody that we're not. And it's my relationship with God that makes me right,
yeah.
That causes me to do right. If I try to do it within powers of my own flesh, I'm going to fail.
Yeah. Take this right. I know some of you won't agree with this, but there was a day, I mean, the early days of my full-time ministry, where if anybody, especially with my boys on the soccer field, the wrestling matches and the coaches they had, we had some unsaved coaches that had unsaved tongues. And they would, I mean, it was a day where I would just tell, you know, I'd say, hey, come on, Andrew, let's go. Until I really caught on to that statement. You have to be right to do right. And the thought was, the reason they're saying that is because their heart is bad. I'm not necessarily going to react to their tongue. And when I caught on to that, I began to say to the boys, hey, listen, when you hear your coach do that, let's pray for his heart, that God would open his heart. Not react to his speech. Let's pray for his heart. I mean, the reason we say dumb, stupid, foolish things, let me turn around. The reason I say dumb, stupid, foolish things, because I have a dumb, stupid, foolish heart. It's in the heart. Yeah. To do right, you got to be right. Yes, Sue Haas.
Well, I think the thought through Brother Chuck's whole message was, God's not finished with Brother Chuck, and I'm thankful. God's not finished with you, Pastor, and I'm thankful Amen. For that. God's not finished with me yet, and I'm thankful for that. God's not finished with any of us. Yeah. If we think he is, then we might as well just die, because we haven't got anything to live for.
Isn't that true? I'm looking at the ones who've shaken this world for Christ in this generation, and the greater percentage of them are in that last third of their life, age-wise. So I like your statement. I want to get things straightened out. I don't know if you ever will. I don't know if I ever will. We're going to keep growing, aren't we? We're going to keep open to truth. Somebody else. Yes, Corrine. Let's get the microphone.
It was the C statements when he went through the different C's, prayer, conviction, so forth. So I'm going to share just kind of a brief, quick story.
Please.
It resonates because the Wednesday before Blaine passed away, he was still feeling ill from the chest crud that he'd had. And he was very upset because we had a special guest speaker at our home church. And he wanted to be there. He wanted to hear an update on a ministry. And I heard him fall to his knees and heard him cry out to God. And the prayer that came from him, we all have that. God has given that to us. That's why he's given us the Spirit. And so we can reach out and grasp and send those prayers upward.
Yeah.
And in those prayers towards the end, he kept saying over and over again, God, I'm tired. I'm tired. I don't know if I can keep fighting.
Wow.
What about the youth of America? What about the condition our country's in? What about this? Who's going to reach the lost?
Yeah.
And from there, he went to pray for people. And one of the last things I found in his room, and we've not gone through it, but I've been putting things away as we find them in our house, was his prayer list for the month. And he wrote out a prayer list every month, and there were names on there.
Wow.
So that resonated too as you stood up there and said
Praise
that.
Praise the Lord.
God answered his prayer. He answers every one of ours.
Amen.
It may not be the way we want them.
Yeah.
We can't ever stop.
Amen.
He's still moving.
Amen.
And he touches lives even when we can't see it.
Amen.
So never stop watering the seeds he planted.
You.
Never stop trying.
Thank you. Somebody hasn't responded yet. Any statements you heard tonight? Let me give you another one. I don't know if I understand this statement, honestly. If you keep the faith will keep you. And I'm thinking, okay, is that positional truth? Is that practical truth? Is that future truth? Is that justification, sanctification, or glorification truth? I mean, that statement resonated with me. What do you mean by that statement? Let's get the microphone. If you keep the faith keeps you. Is there a time ever where faith doesn't keep us? I mean, I'm just thinking that's sanctification truth, but go ahead.
Well, without a doubt, we are being kept by the power of God.
Yeah.
But I have a responsibility to walk by faith daily. I have a responsibility to, in a sense, hang on to all that has been given me by others
in the faith. And then I am to practice those, that compilation, as well as the things that I'm learning today. So as I grasp and hold on to that, it's like in my thinking, it's like this. If I take a hammer and I use the hammer, then the hammer becomes a tool that accomplishes a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And as it does so, and I build something, then the evidence of my faith in using that hammer is seen for others by the work of God.
Amen. Somebody have your smartphone with your Bible software. There's a passage here, I'm looking for it right now, that I think would back up what you said. Then have we confidence toward him? The thought is, that's 1 John 4, somewhere around verses 17 through. Can anybody find that? Then have we come. What is it? Okay, let's look at that. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. That's kind of what you're saying. You know, a person doesn't walk with God, he has a condemning heart. That's the Holy Spirit. And he has no confidence. And that's what you said. If you keep the faith, faith keeps you. Somebody, I had a young lady come up to me. I was speaking. She afterwards came to me, and she said, "Well, I have doubts. I have doubts." And I said to her, "It sounds like you have a condemning heart." You know, when we get out of the will of God and we begin to mess around with sin, we have a condemning heart and we lose our confidence. That's when we begin to doubt.